Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, you never know who's going to pop up in front of the old Straight Talk microphones. And here's the man, the myth, the legend himself, a guy I haven't seen probably for, I don't know how many years it's been, Roddy Broadnecks, the one and the only Roddy Broadnecks, who now works with the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce. He has an official position as a Senior Director of Revenue and Membership for the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce. Roddy.
Good afternoon, Manning. Great seeing you, sir. Great to be here at Charlie Ruffalo's Substation 2.
Now, I always start off the program by getting our guests to tell us a little bit about themselves. So give us the Cliff Notes version of Roddy Broadnecks, not the expanded version that you use to get a job, but the Cliff Notes version. Go ahead.
Right. Thanks. And again, we go way back together, and again, excited to be here today. But I grew up 3 or 4 miles from here down in DeHook and Swan Meadows. Walked to school for 6 years at Ebonport Elementary, product of the public schools here, Rawlinson Road Junior High, Northwestern High School. Had the pleasure of playing for the greatest basketball coach in South Carolina, Lindbergh Moody, and some big, big times there. Attended the University of South Carolina, and then my first job out of college was Lowe's here in town, where I met you as the master sales manager of Lowe's. I was buying radio advertising from you and your team.
Attaboy.
Fast forward, I had 30 years in telecommunications. I've often managed both states, covered both states, and now I've found a home at the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce.
Good for you. Well, now, the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce is not exactly, you know, a word that we hear floating around all the time. So your job with the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce is to do what we do here locally with our chamber, but on a statewide level?
Well, a little different. So first I'll tell you what we're not. We're not part of the South Carolina Department of Commerce, and we're not the mothership of all the local and regional chambers, but we are a strong partner with all the local regional chambers. And I think my buddy Dean Fell here is the president CEO of the York County Regional Chamber. Dean and I go way back, and we put together programs with the local and regional chambers to share revenue, whether it be small business insurance programs and different things like that. So at the South Carolina Chamber, we are the voice for business in South Carolina, all businesses, small, medium, large. We promote free enterprise. We try to define an advocate, become an advocate for the business agenda. And the way we do that is we convene, we meet, we connect, and we educate businesses on things that are going on in South Carolina. And last but not least, we partner with our members and allies and different people throughout the state.
So being a voice for business, do you, develop platforms on particular issues and then spend your time in the legislature when it meets to make sure that they understand what they may be doing could adversely or positively affect business?
Yes, so about 65% of what we do is advocacy through the General Assembly, legislative branch of South Carolina. We have a fantastic VP of Government Affairs, Will Frierson. He works closely at the State House. Our office is across the street on Gervais, so Will spends a lot of time there throughout the year when they're in session. And really, the General Assembly depends on us to provide a real connection back to businesses. And we go out, we just finished manning a 25-city, 44-chamber grassroots tour where our CEO, Bob Morgan, presented a really cool agenda that we were able to go online with your wireless phone, scan the QR code, and we had a series of questions that we tabulated the answers right there on the big screen. We compiled the data and found out about workforce development, child care, health care. We gather all this data, and then we'll present that back to the General Assembly as well as our elected officials.
So what would you say is the number one concern of businesses in South Carolina right now, based on all the data that you get in?
Well, it's funny you say concern, but one of the things that we found out by polling this data was support for K through 12 education. We've got to work on that. I think the sampling that we had from all of our chamber members throughout the state was that was the number one thing we've got to do. We've got to invest more into the education process, followed closely by workforce development. As you well know, South Carolina business is booming. And, we've got to find people to do these jobs with all the different manufacturing, the success we're having in the South Carolina port, and, of course, agriculture, which is actually our number one commodity here in South Carolina, kind of a hidden thing nobody really knows about.
So when you talk about more support for K through 12 education, I mean, I've been sitting at this table for almost 40 years talking about public education. I've seen the legislature pour all kinds of money into it. But the same, we're getting the same result out in many districts, not all the districts, but in many of the districts, because we got poor districts, we got well-to-do districts. Your county, for the most part, all four of our school districts are doing pretty well. But you get to other parts of the state, and they're not doing well because they don't have any tax base, and they don't have much going on, so nobody wants to go there to teach, and they don't have money to build buildings. I mean, what kind of approach do you see the chamber taking?
Well, at the chamber, we don't really lead some of those initiatives. We support and follow up, as the voice, and then with Will and his team in the legislative policy. But what we found out by polling our members and other chamber members throughout the state was a definite need to increase the education. One of the questions that we asked was teachers moving into the state, should they be immediately brought in based off their credentials, their longevity as a teacher? Should we waive the process of having them certified as teachers? Things like that. How do we get teachers back in the system and continue to bring in innovative teachers and, as you said, better facilities? I think you'll agree in York, Lancaster, and Chester County, public school systems here have great facilities. I think there's been a great focus on that throughout the years.
There has been a hue and cry for teachers all over the country. We need them, we need them, we need them. Same thing is true here in South Carolina. And I have posed this question to legislators like who are sitting next to us over here in the past. We're competing with the private sector. South Carolina has been great to bring Boeing and BMW and all the other big companies here, and they're paying very nice salaries. And so they're grabbing the best talent they can. And yet you want the best talent in the school systems. But our pay scales are much different between public education and the private sector. So I think we missed a beautiful opportunity when we had all these extra billions of dollars in cash a couple of years ago to maybe upset that table and take it to a new level. But what you're really talking about is money. We got to have more money to do this.
Yeah, and one thing we saw as a result of the grassroots tour in the workforce development area, we do work closely. We have some great members. The community colleges, the technical colleges, the two-year USC programs, USC Lancaster, for example, and always the four-year continuing education colleges, the big boys and girls. So the new manufacturing companies that are coming to South Carolina are putting together continuing education programs as part of their day-to-day life for their employees. You're going to see a lot of new ways for people to go to work, continue their education, and speaking with Chancellor Susan Elkins of the South Carolina Palmetto College, which is the two-year program, USC Lancaster, Beaufort, Sumter. She really sees the opportunity for her and her students to come in at the supervisory role, the managerial role in these manufacturing companies, to take that education to the next level and have a great career.
Well, and then when you get into workforce development, how great has it been the last couple of years to get a free education at all of our technical schools? Do you hear what I said? Free education?
Yes.
But that's not going to last forever. I mean, the state's already clawing back some of that money, but it's been available for a couple of years, and why everybody and their brother didn't take advantage of it, I have no idea.
Well, again, I think you've seen over the years the stigma of hard work, is going away. you know, college isn't for everybody. And then our technical schools, as well as our community colleges and our continuing education programs, these larger manufacturers that are coming into South Carolina are really making an effort to bring on a lot of new workers. And it's funny when you talk about manufacturing like BMW, Volvo, and their plants here in South Carolina, Volkswagen's coming to Columbia to make the new electronic vehicle Scout.
Right.
So we've got they're already planning in advance. How do we recruit workers? How do we educate workers and put them into our workforce?
You know, I'll never forget when GT Tire opened up down here in Chester a few years ago. They had a grand opening ceremony, and they brought up the governor of South Carolina. And we all know when Henry goes someplace, he's impeccably dressed. Dark blue suit, starched white collar, you know, just everything. So he walks in there and said, we're going to have you build a tire. And he didn't take his jacket off or put any work clothes on. He went over there, pushed a couple of buttons, and here's a tire. That was it. So I guess the message, part of the message to America's future is that manufacturing today is so high tech. It is not like, you know, what happened in the 40s and 50s. It's not dirty, grungy, filthy work. Not at all.
Yeah, and so much of our manufacturing here in South Carolina is truly the assembly of the vehicles, assembly of the different parts and pieces of the equipment, which is great because you're right. It's not like I was telling you, I'm fifth generation Springs Textiles. My daughter is sixth generation working for Derek Close last year with the internship at Springs Creative, and this goes back to 1890. And so my family saw a lot coming off the Mill Hill and Fort Mill and the evolution of where Springs was. And I think that reflects into manufacturing and textiles throughout South Carolina today.
All right. So we know this part of your job or the chamber's job is to work with business and industry on initiatives and go back and forth. You take the message to the legislators. The legislators send the message back through you to the industries. And hopefully you have a collaborative effort, which is producing an end result. But are you seeing any progress, for instance, on these two issues you talked about, like the workforce development and K-12 education? Yes, there are private sector initiatives, but are they producing any measurable results so far?
I think so. We have 7 signature events that we do as a chamber that my team and I are part of, and what this does is what we talked about, how we convene, how we meet. So in our 7 signature events, we bring in all different types of customers, members. They're able to display. But more importantly, you can use workforce development, which we had a couple of months ago at Williams-Brice Stadium. In Columbia, we had over 300 attendees. We had some great breakout sessions. We had some great speakers. The governor was there, obviously, to welcome people. But I think the message was clear through workforce development. It's got to be collaboration. It's got to involve child care. How do you provide child care for first and second shift? How do you invest in transportation in the hospitality industry or in the manufacturing industry? But we had a fantastic turnout. We had a panel of speakers, Manny, that were second to none, giving different ideas, but more importantly, bringing solutions to the table, not just questions.
Well, and that's what you hope to do is get a lot of ideas churning and take some of those ideas and see if you can morph them into some kind of policy. So the other part of your job, which, membership, which is always a challenge in chambers of commerce, at least, you know, to my knowledge of it. How are you going about not only building, but most importantly, retaining the membership?
Yeah, so flashback to 1989, I'm working here in Rock Hill at Rock Hill Cable TV. We're launching CN2, headline news, local edition, and Johnny Barnes put me on the Chamber Task Force to be part of the new member campaign for the York County Regional Chamber. Luckily, my team did well. We won the event, and I kind of got a little taste of how it is to work with the Chamber. So obviously, I volunteered for different committees. Throughout my career, I've worked with different chambers, including my chamber, serving on the communications committee for years when I was with Spirit Communications in Columbia, the North Carolina State Chamber. And I laugh, at one point in 2016, I was the point of contact for 26 different chambers throughout North Carolina, South Carolina. So I'm a believer, Manning. But I have a team of 2 sales reps, one in Columbia, one in Greenville. and we work and recruit new members, as we said, sharing what we do from a policy standpoint, but also one of the things we do well is connecting our members, member-to-member engagement. Now, we're not, again, not like the local regional chambers. We don't have business after hours, and we don't do coffees and breakfasts, but we do have a high level with our seven events where we bring in all of our different membership base, and we have our members have the opportunity to sponsor, get a little brand enhancement there. And one of the things we help with membership are with companies looking to grow their brand throughout the state, because we are statewide.
And that's really where your niche is for local companies who said, I think I can get a chunk now of another part of the state. I need help getting out there.
Yeah, we're a connector. We like to be the connector and help our member-to-members, as we call it, member-to-member engagement. And then also, I think one of the best things that I've seen in my short tenure here, we have 11 legislative committees, and our members are allowed to serve on these committees anywhere from our small business committee, our manufacturing committee, our HR committee. So we like to get with our companies, and they bring in their designated person in that field to serve on our committees, and we have them live in Columbia and or available through Zoom. And this really allows our members to meet other members at the table, to talk about best practices, to talk about issues that they're facing, and to get good and sound advice from each other, and for our companies that are promoting products and services, to give them a chance to meet potential customers.
Oh, yeah. And there's always strength in numbers. If you can get, you know, two or three or four or five or ten businesses behind something, that's better than just having one of them behind.
Well, that's it. A unified voice for business.
Yeah. Now, the chamber, the state chamber, do you have, like, mom-and-pop businesses, or are you basically larger companies, 50 employees, 100 employees more?
Yeah, so we, my team and I, we kind of qualify. When people want to join, we want to make sure that we're a great fit for them, that they're investing their money wisely. A lot of our small mom-and-pops want to be involved in the legislative part. They're very, very interested in tort reform, you know, from a legal aspect, taxes, road development, bridges. So, yes, you know, we take our message to all different types of companies and different businesses. Now, in many cases, we're not the best fit. The local and regional chambers are the best fit. So, obviously, we refer them back to those guys first. And we encourage them first to join your local chamber in every city and county. I think it's very important they do that.
I was going to say, that's the first step. And then the second step would be take a look at the state chamber membership.
Right. Right, and we are a natural fit, and I think I mentioned to you, my buddy Ryan Sanderson at Knowledge Perk here in town, he's a recent new member for us. He opened a Knowledge Perk in Columbia down the street from our State House corporate office. He's opening Myrtle Beach. He's opening Charleston.
Okay.
He wanted some brand recognition. He wanted to serve on the Small Business Committee to meet other people. So we're a perfect fit. And he's, of course, a great member of Dean Fail and the York County Regional Chamber as well.
Good. All right, Ronnie, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, Roddy, I know it's been a while, but these guys over here, they know how to do it. We have fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical formula is in the white letters, and this group is going to bellow it out at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, garden.
There we go. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Relax with a certificate from Founders Federal Credit Union and maximize your earnings. Whether you're saving for a down payment, planning for retirement, or simply growing your nest egg, Founders has great dividend rates. Get guaranteed returns and the security you deserve with terms from 12 to 84 months. Enable Dividend AMP to transfer your quarterly dividends into your Loyalty Select account, our highest yield savings account. Open a certificate today. Visit an office or foundersfcu.com to learn more or apply for membership. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
Emergency care close to home. The team at Piedmont Medical Center has the advanced training to handle your medical emergencies, and we're making it easier for you to access care every day. For non-life-threatening problems, online ER check-in is available at all our emergency room locations, meaning less waiting room time, more peace of mind. Simply visit PiedmontMedicalCenter.com, pick a time you want to be seen, and then wait at home while we hold your place. For life-threatening emergencies, call 911. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at andersongriggs.com.
Hey Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Roddy Broadnax is with us. He is the Senior Director of Revenue and Membership for the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce. And I've known this guy probably as long as I've been in Rock Hill. And he's come from the telecommunications industry into chamber work. But when he was in telecommunications, he was working with the chamber. Good for you. So, talking about economic development, is there any one single tool that is more important to South Carolina's economic development story than the Port of Charleston?
The hidden gem. I'm telling you, Manning, it's more and more prevalent as we work with the CEO, Barbara Melvin. She is a dynamic leader for the port, and she's very active in our chamber. She's a former chair of our chamber. I'm looking forward to seeing her next week at our summit, which is our gathering, our annual event, our biggest event of the year. We're going to be in Hilton Head, and we'll be convening with over 200 of the South Carolina Chamber's leaders. So Barbara will be there. We'll have breakout sessions. Former Governor David Beasley is going to be our keynote speaker. So it's going to be a great couple of days in Hilton Head to talk about policy. But as you said, the port is our hidden gem. You know, we have the deepest port on the East Coast at 52 feet. So much is happening now with the Panama Canal expansion, the big Panamax ships coming through, which are three times the size of a normal ship. And they're loving the Charleston port. It's just fantastic, the working relationship with Barbara and her team, as well as the state. You know, we got, I think in 22, 23, looking at some stats, about a $10.2 billion investment in our state. A lot of that came through the port of South Carolina.
Yeah. Think about every car that is produced by BMW right up here in Greenville. I mean, most of those cars end up going right down the road on a boat and going someplace.
About 1,500 a day, and it's funny. You can go out and Google this. There's an aerial view of how they line up the cars, beautifully washed, waxed, and cleaned, and then overnight they disappear, and they're loaded on ships to go. But the port does work with amazing efficiency. God, job-wise, I know we had over 14,000 jobs in 22-23. Again, the port drives a lot of these jobs through there and businesses. And going back to my telecommunication days, we worked closely with the port, providing internet bandwidth, voice data internet, and watching that area grow. But I got to tell you, Barbara is a great leader. And that affects everybody throughout the state, yeah, not just the coastal areas.
Well, the port, you know, is a two-way vehicle. A lot of the raw materials that BMW and a lot of other companies in this country, in this state, need to produce their finished product are coming in right through that port, right?
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about, agriculture. You know, agriculture is our number one industry. You know, it's got about 260,000 jobs. I was looking at some stats that Will provided for me. About $52 billion in annual income as a result of the agricultural industry in South Carolina. So, again, partnering with the port, import and export.
Well, you know, it wasn't too long ago that a lot of people worked on getting money together to dredge that harbor and make it deeper. You got federal money, they got state money. I mean, I can remember the governor saying, we're going to put aside $300 million just in case we don't get money from the Fed to do this job, because it has to be done for us to maintain our competitive position.
Well, it is, and that was a long, tedious process. And now I think we've gotten to the part where we're deep enough that we can bring in some of the larger ships. And I'll share this with you, because I was lucky enough to serve on the Carolina World Trade Association for a few years. And we worked with both Carolinas, going back to Governor McCrory and Governor Haley, to get the products and goods out of the South Carolina port. So if you've gone to Charleston lately, you've noticed the I-26 widening project. Mm-hmm. It's been going on for years. But what you may not know is behind the scenes, the railroads have all banded together to build better railroad facilities and tracks. And a lot of this merchandise is now being trucked and trained up to Charlotte, which has the huge intermodal at the Charlotte Airport, where it has flown out or continued to be trucked out of there. So both states working together to get the ports and the goods out of the port and throughout South Carolina and the country.
Well, I know that the I-77 Alliance, which is a conglomeration of four or five counties and their economic development efforts, that's the thing that they tout. You know, we've got the biggest airport probably in the country, one of the biggest, number five or whatever it is, and we have the Port of Charleston at the other end. And we can get anything anywhere whenever you want to get it there.
I agree. Those five counties in the Alliance are key. Bob Morgan, our CEO, and I got to attend their meeting last month in Chester. What a great facility that they have in Chester and Richburg. And listen to the presentation there about the growth. And one of the customers or new companies there is Albemarle, who's relocating to Richburg, South Carolina.
That's right.
They're going to be making batteries there.
Yeah, and, over $1 billion investment, if I remember. That's big money. That's huge money.
And it's a funny story. Bob Morgan, our CEO, who came from the Charlotte Chamber, recruited Albemarle many years ago to come to the Carolinas. So now they're mining the lithium in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, bringing it down to Richburg, Chester, South Carolina, and that's where they'll start making the batteries. So, again, two states working as one to work with the five counties in the Alliance, as well as the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce.
So, Roddy, the state chamber, how many members do you all have?
Right now, Manny, we're about, and if my guys are doing their job today, we should be growing our membership daily, but we're about 800 member companies right now.
All right. And each of those members, I mean, all different sizes, right? And when you talk about retaining them, because that's always a key challenge for any business, is retain your customer base. How do you go about doing that?
Well, it's something that I believe in, again, my experience of being in the other seat. You know, now I'm on the chamber team, but for so many years I was being called on by, like my sales team, to buy a membership, to get involved, to serve on a committee, and to sponsor an event and get my brand out there. So, again, our role is to educate, as we said, be an advocate for business, to define it. And so my goal is at the end of the year, when these companies go back to their marketing company to renew their membership with the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce, they're going to say, wow, look what we got out of it. We got some additional tax breaks. We were educated on tort reform. But more importantly, maybe we got new businesses as the member-to-member engagement.
Well, Roddy Broadnax, thank you for coming up from the city to the south, a.k.a. Columbia, and being with us today on our Straight Talk program and telling us all about the state chamber. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, you got one more opportunity here, gang, to show off how good you really are. And we've got a crowd of experts at this. Fresh subs and salads, we do it 6 days a week. Join us in the white letters at the count of three. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
There you go. Have a good day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.
Thank you.